Good evening and welcome to worship. My name is Scott Kirshner. I'm the village pastor here at Holden. And we're going to be using the red hymnals and the green order of service bulletin. So if you didn't get those, they're on the table in the shelf by the door off of Main Street there. And a few words of orientation. First of all, this is a communion service, and all are welcome to receive the sacrament. A few words about the logistics of communion. We will have two lines. There will be two stations in front of the table, and you may receive the bread. Then the first chalice will have wine for drinking. If you would prefer to drink from an individual cup, you may take one of those. And the first pitcher will have wine, and the second will have grape juice. If you have gluten allergies, simply indicate that to the person who is distributing the bread, and we'll make a gluten-free host available to you. And if you do not wish to receive communion, you are still welcome to come forward to receive a blessing and simply cross your arms in front of your chest to so indicate when you come forward. And in the red hymnal, if you are interested, on page 1166 is a much fuller statement about our theology of the sacrament in Luther's Small Catechism on page 1166, if you care to look at that. There will be an offering tonight, and the offering, 100% of our offerings are being given to Lutheran World Relief in their famine relief efforts in the Horn of Africa. And so be aware of that. And finally today, in addition to being the Feast of the Holy Trinity, is Confirmation Sunday here at Holden, a very special day. Three of our young confirmands will be affirming their baptism later in the service. And so it's a festival day for a number of reasons for us here at Holden. And before we begin, our song leaders will introduce to us a song.
If you could take a look with me, please, in your worship, your green worship folder, in the middle, you'll find the offertory song, Tata Pokelela. It's a song from Zambia, and we're going to sing it in both the original language and in English. So I'd like you to just look down on the third line where it says all, and the words sound like this. Pokelele ni tata. Let's say that together. Pokelele ni tata. And the second half is pokelele ni lelo. Pokelele ni lelo. And it sounds like this. Pokelele ni tata. Pokelele ni lelo. Pokelele. Poke, poke lele ni tata, poke lele ni lelo. Listen once. Tata poke lelo, ifyo pupe fiesu, ifyo twa mi pela lelo. Poke lele ni tata, poke lele ni lelo. Poke, poke lele. Everything is yours, Lord. Everything comes from you. All we have, we offer to you. Except, accept our love, Lord. We pray, receive our gifts, Lord. Accept our love, accept our love, Lord. We pray, receive our gifts, Lord, today. Beautiful singing. On the front page for our opening hymn of praise, We're singing, "Oh, sing to God above, a hymn of joyful greeting." And if you go way down to the bottom, the Alleluia, we sing first in English, "Oh, sing to God above, Alleluia," and second in Spanish. So just a brief practice of that one word, that one phrase in Spanish. First, let's all try saying Alleluia in Spanish.
Alleluia!
Oh, you're speaking Spanish. Nice. Next, we'll sing Cantemos al Señor.
Cantemos al Señor.
And that's beautiful. That's all we need to know.
We begin worship this evening giving thanks for our baptism. Blessed be the Holy Trinity, one God, the fountain of living water, the rock who gave us birth, our light, and our salvation. Amen. Joined to Christ in the waters of baptism, we are clothed with God's mercy and forgiveness. Let us give thanks for the gift of baptism. Holy God, holy and merciful, holy and might, you are the river of life. You are the everlasting wellspring. You are the fire of rebirth. Glory to you for the oceans and lakes, for glaciers, rivers, and streams, for Railroad Creek and Copper Creek, which are the source of our drinking water and electricity. Honor to you, O God, for cloud and rain, for dew and snow. Your waters are below us, around us, above us. Our life is born in you. You are the fountain for resurrection. Praise to you, O God, for your saving waters. Noah and the animals survived the flood. Hagar discovers your well. Israelites escape through the sea, and they drink from your gushing rock. Naaman washes his leprosy away, and the Samaritan woman will never be thirsty again. Praise to you, O God, for the water of baptism and for your word that saves us in this sacrament. Breathe your spirit into all who are gathered here and to all creation. Illumine our days, enliven our bones, dry our tears, wash away the sin within us, and drown the evil around us. Satisfy all who thirst with your living water, Jesus Christ, who lives in unity with you and the Holy Spirit, one God, now and forever. Amen. This water, the water of this font, has flowed from the mountains through the creek to this place. Receive it now as a reminder of the waters of our baptism. If you are not baptized, then receive it as a reminder of the life-giving water which sustains all plant and animal communities in this valley, including ourselves.
Here.
The Lord be with you.
And also with you.
Let us pray. God of heaven and earth, before the foundation of the universe and the beginning of time, you are the triune God, author of creation, eternal word of salvation, life-giving spirit of wisdom. Guide us to all truth by your spirit, that we may proclaim all that Christ has revealed and rejoice in the glory he shares with us. Glory and praise to you, Father, Son, and Holy Spirit, now and forever. Amen.
The first reading is found in Isaiah 6, verses 1 through 8. In the year that King Uzziah died, I saw the Lord sitting on a throne, high and lofty, and the hem of the Lord's robe filled the temple. Seraphs were in attendance above the Lord. Each had six wings. With two they covered their faces, and with two they covered their feet, and with two they flew. And one called to another and said, "Holy, holy, holy is the Lord of hosts. The whole earth is full of the glory of the Lord." The pivots on the threshold shook at the voices of those who called, and the house filled with smoke. And I said, "Woe is me, I am lost, for I am a man of unclean lips, and I live among a people of unclean lips. Yet my eyes have seen the sovereign, the Lord of hosts." Then one of the seraphs flew to me, holding a live coal that had been taken from the altar with a pair of tongs. The seraph touched my mouth with it and said, "Now that this has touched your lips, your guilt has departed and your sin is blotted out." Then I heard the voice of the Lord saying, "Whom shall I send and who will go for us?" And I said, "Here I am, send me." Word of God, word of life.
Thanks be to God.
The voice of the Lord shakes the wilderness. The voice of the Lord is full of power.
The voice of the Lord shakes the wilderness.
The voice of the Lord is full of power. Ascribe to the Lord, you gods. Ascribe to the Lord glory and strength. Ascribe to the Lord the glory due God's name. Worship the Lord in the beauty of holiness. The voice of the Lord is upon the waters. The God of glory thunders. The Lord is upon the mighty waters. The voice of the Lord is a powerful voice. The voice of the Lord is a voice of splendor.
The voice of the Lord shouts the wilderness. The voice of the Lord is full of
the voice of the Lord
shakes the wilderness.
The voice of the Lord is full of power. The voice of the Lord breaks the cedar trees. The Lord breaks the cedars of Lebanon. The Lord makes Lebanon skip like a calf, and Mount Hermon like a young wild ox. The voice of the Lord bursts forth in lightning flashes. The voice of the Lord shakes the wilderness. The Lord shakes the wilderness of Kadesh.
The voice of the Lord shakes the wilderness. The voice of the Lord is full of power. The voice
makes the oak trees writhe and strips the forests bare. And in the temple of the Lord all are crying glory. The Lord sits enthroned above the flood. The Lord sits enthroned as sovereign forevermore. O Lord, give strength to your people. Give them, O Lord, the blessings of peace.
The voice of the Lord shakes the wilderness. The voice of the Lord is full of power. The voice of the Lord shakes the wilderness. The voice of the Lord is full of power.
The second reading is found in Romans chapter 8, verses 12 through 17. Brothers and sisters, we are debtors, not to the flesh, to live according to the flesh. For if you live according to the flesh, you will die. But if by the Spirit you put to death the deeds of the body, you will live. For all who are led by the Spirit of God are children of God. For you did not receive a spirit of slavery to fall back into fear, but you have received a spirit of adoption. When we cry, Abba, Father, it is that very Spirit bearing witness with our spirit that we are children of God. And if children, then heirs. Heirs of God and joint heirs with Christ. If, in fact, we suffer with Christ, so that we may also be glorified with Christ. Holy wisdom, holy word.
Thanks be to God.
The Holy Gospel according to John, the third chapter. Glory to you, O Lord. Now there was a Pharisee named Nicodemus, a leader of the Jewish people. He came to Jesus by night and said to him, Rabbi, we know that you are a teacher who has come from God. For no one can do these signs that you do apart from the presence of God. Jesus answered him, Very truly, I tell you, no one can see the dominion of God without being born from above. Nicodemus said to Jesus, How can anyone be born after having grown old? Can one enter a second time into the mother's womb and be born? Jesus answered, Very truly, I tell you, no one can enter the dominion of God without being born of water and spirit. What is born of the flesh is flesh. What is born of the spirit is spirit. Do not be astonished that I said to you, you must be born from above. The wind blows where it chooses, and you hear the sound of it, but you do not know where it comes from or where it goes. So it is with everyone who is born of the Spirit. Nicodemus said to Jesus, How can these things be? Jesus answered him, Are you a teacher of Israel, and yet you do not understand these things? Very truly, I tell you, we speak of what we know and testify to what we have seen, but you do not receive our testimony. If I have told you about earthly things and you do not believe, how can you believe if I tell you about heavenly things? No one has ascended into heaven except the one who descended from heaven, the Son of Man. And just as Moses lifted up the serpent in the wilderness, so must the Son of Man be lifted up, that whoever believes in him may have eternal life. For God loved the world in this way, that God gave the Son, the only begotten one, so that everyone who believes in him may not perish but have eternal life. Indeed, God did not send the Son into the world to condemn the world, but in order that the world might be saved through him. This is the gospel of the Lord.
Praise to you, O Christ.
You may be seated. Please pray with me. Oh God, on this night, may the words of my mouth and the meditations of all of our hearts and minds be acceptable in your sight, O God, our rock and our redeemer. Amen. Today is a particularly exciting day at Holden Village, as it is a day that Maya and August and Corey will be confirmed. For 2 years, we have studied the scriptures together with the help of Manna and Mercy. We have studied Luther's Small Catechism. We have, on occasion, led Vespers together. We have pondered the meaning of long and impressive-sounding New Testament words such as anakephaliosasthai. You can ask Corey about that one. And they, week after week, have taken sermon notes, which, more than any other feedback that I receive, have told me clearly if I have proclaimed the life-giving word of God in law and gospel, or if I have fallen short on my job. In short, you three are becoming theologians. We might rightly ask, what is confirmation? The word literally, of course, means to affirm with, to affirm something with others. And, Corey, Maya, August, you are affirming your baptism. When you were infants, your parents and godparents carried you to the waters of baptism, in which you received an unshakable identity. The truest thing that can ever be said about you, child of God, sealed with the Holy Spirit and marked with the cross of Christ forever. They, and many others, have prayed with you and for you as you have grown in your baptism, and now you are standing in that water on your own 2 feet to say yes. May it be so. Amen. Though you affirm your baptism today, this is more a beginning than an ending, however. In a sense, affirming our baptism, our identity as sisters and brothers of and in the crucified and risen Christ, is always in front of us. It's always to be renewed each new day. Each time, in fact, we confess sin and experience that taste of resurrection found in the promise of forgiveness and life made new in grace. The life of faith is nothing other than this daily return to baptism, said Luther. And so what happens today is something that happens, in a sense, daily, your whole life long. But even though affirming your baptism is something you will do again and again all your life, today is probably the only such time that people will applaud and hand you a piece of cake. Because today is also a rite of passage. You are taking on adult level responsibility in the community of faith. Rites of passage are important. In communist East Germany, when church rites of passage like confirmation were outlawed, the state created an atheistic version of confirmation to mark the passage to young adulthood. Imagine East German kids standing up in front of the local party leaders, nervously reciting memory verses from the Communist Manifesto. Strange but true. Rites of passage are important across cultures, and today is one of those days. In the gospel reading, we meet a fellow named Nicodemus whose faith, though earnest, seems stuck in narrow horizons. In that sense, we can identify with him. In our modern world, religious faith is often seen as a limited and narrow perspective within the big world. To venture out into the wider horizons and unknowns and ambiguities of the great big world requires leaving the comforting certainties of faith behind, or so we are sometimes told. Or we can cling to the comforts of faith at the expense of journeying deeply into the unknown and unfamiliar. At least this is the dilemma as it is often presented to us. And I suspect it's where Nicodemus found himself, with a faith caught between desire and fear and bound by narrow horizons. Nicodemus begins a conversation with Jesus, and it quickly becomes apparent he has no idea what Jesus is talking about. Nicodemus asks a question, and Jesus' response doesn't even really attempt to answer his question. Jesus says, "Very truly, I tell you, no one can see the kingdom of God without being born from above." Here starts the word play. Is it born again or born from above? The word can mean both things. Nicodemus is caught flat-footed. He says, "Can one enter a second time into the mother's womb and be born?" And here you can see Jesus pressing the horizons of Nicodemus's faith. And here I ask a little indulgence of imagination, or your indulgence of mine. Imagine what it might look like if this conversation between Nicodemus and Jesus were unfolding at Holden Village. And Jesus leads Nicodemus at this point down to the creek, back behind Koinonia, having him take off his shoes roll up his pants and step into the cold, rushing glacial meltwater of Railroad Creek. Water that will make its way to Lake Chelan and the Columbia River and then the Pacific Ocean and then make its way back here as winter snowfall to start the cycle again. And I imagine Jesus asking Nicodemus, standing there in the creek, to look up and notice the clouds sailing by and feel the wind cooling his skin and tussling his hair and swaying the upper branches of the Douglas firs. And when Nicodemus has had a chance to take all this in and really begin to wonder what in the world the point is, Jesus says to him, "No one can enter the kingdom of God without being born of water and wind." Water and spirit, John 3:5. Jesus is opening Nicodemus's horizons by having him stand there in Railroad Creek under the wide horizon of creation. Is this talk about water really talk about baptism? And is this talk about wind really talk about the Holy Spirit? Almost certainly. But the double meaning is everything, because water is life. Every ecological community on the planet is defined by water's abundance or scarcity. Our own creek and the whole watershed of this valley connects us to the whole commonwealth of creation. And it is this life-giving water which becomes, in the promises of baptism, an encounter with the living God. Is it wind or is it spirit? They are the same word. Again, the double meaning is everything for widening Nicodemus's horizons. The wind is wild, and it's free, and it's beyond any of our controlling. Spirit is like that wind, stirring through and giving life to all creation. Like water, the Spirit unites us to the whole, even as it stirs up in us the baptismal gifts of faith and hope and love. And this gets us back to the widening of horizons. You three affirm your baptism today. As you continue to grow and learn and travel and read and just live, your horizons will grow. I hope they never quit growing. But growth and change are not always easy. You may sometimes ask yourself, how does my faith connect to this new perspective I am gaining on the world? Do I have to leave my faith behind to accommodate this wider horizon? How does it all fit together? These are noble questions. And they are Nicodemus's questions too when he asks Jesus, "How can these things be?" When you ask those questions, when you start to feel like life is perhaps a puzzle with missing pieces, and there will be times, I encourage you, when that happens, to find a body of water. Preferably a cold, clear, rushing stream, and stand in it, and feel the water swirling around your legs, and look up at the clouds, and notice the wind in the trees, and feel it on your face and hair. Feel your connection to the whole commonwealth of creation, and this water that gives life to the whole creation is the water of your baptism into Christ. And in mystery and in wonder and in joy, say yes to your baptism again and again. And you will discover again and again, as I hope you are discovering today, that God's grace is as wide as the wide horizons of creation. You, child of God, sealed with the Holy Spirit and marked with the cross of Christ forever. And that says it all. Thanks be to God.
Let us respond in song with hymn number 412 in our hymnals 412. Service of affirmation of baptism is found on page 234 in the front of your hymnal. Dear friends, we give thanks for the gift of baptism and for these three who, in the body of Christ, are making public affirmation of their baptism.
I present August Carpenter, Maya Diamond, and Corey Schultz, who desire to make public affirmation of their baptism.
Let us pray. Merciful God, we thank you for this sister and these brothers,
whom you have made your own by water and the word and baptism. You've called them to yourself, enlightened them with the gifts of your Spirit, and nourished them in the community of faith. Uphold your servants in the gift and promises of baptism, and unite the hearts of all whom you have brought to new birth. We ask this in the name of Christ.
Amen. Amen.
Maya, Corey, and August, I ask you to profess your faith in Christ Jesus, reject sin, and confess the faith of the church. Do you renounce the devil and all the forces that defy God?
I renounce them.
Do you renounce the powers of this world that rebel against God?
I renounce them.
Do you renounce the ways of sin that draw you from God? The assembly is now invited to confess together with our confirmands the Apostles' Creed. Do you believe in God the Father?
I believe in God the Father Almighty, creator of heaven and earth.
Do you believe in Jesus Christ, the Son of God?
I believe in Jesus Christ, God's only Son, our Lord, who was conceived by the Holy Spirit, born of the Virgin Mary, suffered under Pontius Pilate, was crucified, died, and was buried. He descended to the dead.
On the third day he rose again. He ascended into heaven. He is seated at the right hand of the Father, and he will come to judge the living and the dead.
Do you believe in God, the Holy Spirit?
I believe in the Holy Spirit, the Holy Catholic Church, the communion of saints, the forgiveness of sins, the resurrection of the body, and the life everlasting.
Amen. You have made public profession of your faith. Do you intend to continue in the covenant God made with you in holy baptism, to live among God's faithful people, to hear the word of God and share in the Lord's Supper, to proclaim the good news of God in Christ through word and deed, to serve all people, following the example of Jesus, and to strive for justice and peace in all the earth?
I do, and I ask God to help and guide me.
Corey?
I do, and I ask God to help and guide me.
August?
I do, and I ask God to help and guide me.
People of God, do you promise to support this sister and these brothers and to pray for them in their life in Christ?
We do, and we ask God to help and guide us.
Let us pray. We give you thanks, O God, that through water and the Holy Spirit you give us new birth, cleanse us from sin, and raise us to eternal life. Stir up in Maya the gift of your Holy Spirit, the Spirit of wisdom and understanding, the Spirit of counsel and might, the Spirit of knowledge and the fear of the Lord, the Spirit of joy in your presence, both now and forever. Amen. stir up in Corey the gift of your Holy Spirit, the spirit of wisdom and understanding, the spirit of counsel and might, the spirit of knowledge and the fear of the Lord, the spirit of joy in your presence, both now and forever. Amen. Stir up in August the gift of your Holy Spirit, the spirit of wisdom and understanding, the spirit of counsel and might, the spirit of knowledge and the fear of the Lord, the spirit of joy in your presence, both now and forever. Amen.
Let us rejoice with this sister and these brothers in Christ.
We rejoice with you in the life of baptism.
Together we will give thanks and praise to God and proclaim the good news to all the world.
We continue with the prayers of intercession, but why not? Let us respond with acclamation.
With reverence for the earth, those in need, and the whole human family, let us offer our prayers and yearnings to God, saying, Lord, in your mercy, hear our prayer. Triune God, you are a God of relationship. As we seek to abide in the mystery and wonder of your greatness, tenderness, and presence, help us to embrace our relationship with you as children of God and joint heirs with Christ. Lord, in your mercy,
hear our prayer.
Loving God, teach us to deepen the worship life of the church, to foster living liturgy. Send us with fervent joy to testify to what we have seen, heard, and experienced in our holy assembly. Lord, in your mercy,
hear our prayer.
Raise up leaders in this and every land who will speak out on behalf of those who are poor, oppressed, and marginalized. Lord, in your mercy,
hear our prayer.
Awaken in us a profound commitment to care for the earth, that your beauty may be revealed in the lakes, the rivers, the mountains, the glaciers, the valleys, the plants, and the animals. Lord, in your mercy,
hear our prayer.
Teach us to call you Abba and Ima as we entrust to you all who are suffering in body, mind, or spirit, especially those who we name aloud or in our hearts now.
Georgie, Micah,
Joy.
Matt,
Carl,
Lois. Lord, in your mercy,
hear our prayer.
Pour out your blessing on all those celebrating graduations, marriages, and other transitions during this season. Lord, in your mercy,
hear our prayer.
We give you thanks, O God, for your holy ones baptized into the Holy Trinity. This night we especially thank you for our brothers and sisters in Christ, August, Maya, and Corey. May all born anew in the waters of grace eagerly respond to your call to serve. Lord, in your mercy,
hear our prayer.
Trusting in your radical love for the whole world in Jesus Christ, we commend all for whom we pray. Amen.
Peace of the Lord be with you always.
And also with you.
Let us share a sign of that peace.
Thank you.
Let us pray. God of all creation, all you have made is good, and your love endures forever. You bring forth bread from the earth and fruit from the vine. Nourish us with these gifts, that we might be for the world signs of your gracious presence. In Jesus Christ, our Lord and Savior. Amen.
The Lord be with you.
And also with you.
Lift up your hearts.
We lift them to the Lord.
Let us give thanks to the Lord our God.
It is right to give our thanks and praise.
It is indeed right, our duty and our joy, that we should at all times and in all places give thanks and praise to you, Almighty and merciful God, through our Savior Jesus Christ. You revealed your glory as the glory of the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit, equal in majesty, undivided in splendor, one Lord, one God, ever to be adored in your eternal glory. And so with all the choirs of angels, with the church on earth and the hosts of heaven, we praise your name and join their unending hymn. O God most mighty, O God most merciful, O God our rock and our salvation, hear us as we praise, call us to your table, grant us your life. When the world was a formless void, you formed order and beauty. When Abraham and Sarah were barren, you sent them a child. When the Israelites were enslaved, you led them to freedom. Ruth faced starvation, David fought Goliath, and the psalmist cried out for healing, and full of compassion, you granted the people your life. You entered our sorrows in Jesus, our brother. He was born among the poor. He lived under oppression. He wept over the city. With infinite love, he granted the people your life. In the night in which he was betrayed, our Lord Jesus took bread, gave thanks, broke it, and gave it to his disciples, saying, "Take and eat. This is my body, given for you. Do this in remembrance of me." Again, after supper, he took the cup, gave thanks, and gave it for all to drink, saying, "This cup is the new covenant in my blood, shed for you and for all people for the forgiveness of sin. Do this in remembrance of me." remembering his death, we cry out, Amen.
Amen.
Celebrating his resurrection, we cry out, Amen.
Amen.
Trusting his presence in every time and place, we plead, Amen.
Amen.
O God, you are breath. Send your spirit on this meal. O God, you are bread. Feed us with yourself. O God, you are wine. Warm our hearts and make us one. O God, you are fire. Transform us with hope. O God, most majestic. O God, most motherly. O God, our strength and our song. You show us a vision of a tree of life with fruits for all and leaves that heal the nations. Grant us such life, the life of the Father to the Son, the life of the Spirit to our risen Savior, life in you, now and forever. Amen. Amen. Gathered in the Spirit, we are bold to pray as Jesus taught us.
Our Father in heaven, hallowed be your name. Your kingdom come, your will be done, on earth as in heaven. Give us today our daily bread, and forgive us our sins, as we forgive those who sin against us. Save us from the time of trial, and deliver us from evil. For the kingdom, the power, and the glory are yours, now and forever.
Taste and see that the Lord is good. Come, for all is ready.
Mercy on us. hymn number 466, 466.
Thank you.
Let us pray. O God, we give you thanks that you have set before us this feast, the body and blood of your Son. By your Spirit, strengthen us to serve all in need and to give ourselves away as bread for the hungry. Through Jesus Christ, our Lord. Amen.
The God of steadfastness and encouragement grant you to live in harmony with one another, in accordance with Christ Jesus.
Amen.
The God of hope fill you with all joy and peace in believing, that you may abound in hope by the power of the Holy Spirit.
Amen.
The God of all grace bless you now and forever.
Amen.
To love and serve and remember the poor.
Thanks be to God.